from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you know that the Apostle Paul wrote a memorable love song? I was just reading from it. One that is still used at weddings all the time. Well, that is what many Bible commentators consider Paul's discourse of love, found in 1 Corinthians 13, to be a rhapsody or hymn about the nature of love. So is Paul's like a New Testament version of maybe the Beatles refrain, "All you need is love, love, love is all you need"? I think that was the gist of a sermon at a royal wedding not too long ago. Or more likely Elvis, "You've lost that lovin' feeling." Not really. In his epistle, Paul's love song is not about romance per se. It is about love being the essential Christian attribute. Paul dramatically states that without love, I am nothing and I gain nothing. Because love is the foundation of Christian character and conduct. Love alone confers worth to all other spiritual gifts. Without love, even faith as big as a mountain is useless. Love is the true test of Christianity. Well, we know the Corinthian church was full of power struggles, heated theological arguments, and class divisions, all because they operated not from the basis of love, but from their own pride. You know, there was no qualitative difference between the love within the body of Christ in Corinth and the pagan world outside it. If this is what the world sees inside the church, and it is the sound emanating from it, how can we ever advance the kingdom of God and reach the lost in the world? Have you ever visited a church somewhere and could very quickly discern that there was no authentic love in the place? Perhaps instead of clanging cymbals, there was more an uneasy sense of silence. A Barner Group study found that 70% of new people decide whether or not they'll come back to a church in the first 7 minutes of arriving on campus. There may be people walking around inside, but a church unenlivened by God's love is a spiritually dead place. And the Church of Corinth may have been alive, but it was seriously spiritually confused and causing great spiritual harm to its members. Paul proposes that all the problems in the church at Corinth stem from one fundamental issue, a lack of love. Well, in his epistle to them, Paul does not present the Corinthians with a 12-step program of how to be a more loving church and grow your membership. Paul instead proposes that the Corinthians allow that there is a more excellent and higher way out of their issues, the way of love. So Paul suggests that love is a way, not a thing, but really a journey of transformation. You recall that chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The word Paul uses for love in this passage of Scripture is agape. Unlike English, ancient Greek has six distinct words for love, and each a descriptor of a certain kind of love, but it is agape that Paul uses to envision the greatest kind of love. Agape perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus Christ has for his Father and for his followers. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Okay, I got no reaction at the first service, but have any of you read a book called The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts by Dr. Gary Chapman? I got one? Okay, good. These people get more bonus points in heaven. Okay. In his book, Dr. Chapman argues that not everyone expresses their love in the same way, that people tend to give love the way they naturally prefer to receive love. That by knowing your love language, you can better express your needs to another person while also understanding how to make them feel loved and appreciated in return. His research shows that each of us primarily speaks with one of five love languages. Here they are: quality time, physical touch, gift giving, acts of service, and words of affirmation. What is the love language of God? If we gave God the same quiz, what do you think it would determine? Well, the Christian faith has that answer. God's love language to us is Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. The love language of God, Jesus Christ, is what Paul desires should flow in the church at Corinth. It is a love that is mature, that has strength and character. It is the language we need to know and likewise speak. Well, maybe for fun, let's briefly explore God's love language and the parts of Paul's discourse by way of the five love languages. Gift giving. Paul says that love is kind, and kindness involves love put into action, love mobilized for the good of someone else. And this is the essence of divine love, agape love. God's love is pure gift love, because God has no need in His love. He derives no gain from His love. It is self-giving and unconditional. It is sacrificial. Love is not an attribute of God. God is love. When God loves us, He gives of Himself. God's love is personal and relational. And we receive God's love through our relationship with Him. He doesn't love us because we are so very attractive and we please Him. He loves us simply because He is love. God is the giver, and we are the passive receivers of His love. In fact, we were formed to be vessels or containers to receive His love and grace. Now, all human or natural loves are need-based. We need to be loved and to give love and give love to others in return, but we also need to, in fact, derive something from love. Sin has distorted our hearts. In consequence, we manipulate others to get the love, admiration, and affection we so desperately want and need. All natural human love is limited love because we are limited, finite beings. We are really hollow and spiritually empty without God's love to fill us. Only the love of God can sustain us and transform us. Okay, quality time. God is desirous of spending quality time with us. At the right time, God intervened into created time when He sent His only Son into human history to live and die as one of us for our salvation. That was quality time. Think of the quality time the disciples enjoyed with Jesus as He taught them, preached, and patiently spent His time with them. And the quiet hours Jesus spent alone in prayer with His Father. Jesus is the way to the Father. Quality time with God means being in His presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God makes Himself available to us for quality time. How can we corporately and individually know and love God without spending time with God? How can you know anyone without spending time with them? Quality time with God includes regularly coming to Sunday worship, serving Him, reading Scripture daily. Quality time with God includes discipling yourself and loving God by growing in knowledge and faith alongside of other disciples. Okay. Physical touch. Physical touch is a way of communicating love in a nonverbal way. To touch another person, you must be present and near to that person. God is not an abstraction. God descended from heaven to become a real human being. God is present and near to us. In John 20, verses 25 through 28, you'll recall Thomas could not believe that the risen Jesus had appeared to the other disciples in the upper room. In fact, he said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my fingers into the mark of the and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week later, when Thomas was with the other disciples, Jesus came again and stood among them. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." So Jesus is not a ghost or a phantom. God's presence is real. God is not located somewhere far beyond our grasp. And Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, God is very, very near. Jesus continues to manifest himself through physical means. The water of holy baptism, the bread and wine of communion. God is also near because his Spirit dwells in the hearts of his children. Physical touch is about being in relationship also with one another, being connected, being physically present for each other, near and able to reach out to one another in love. Now, not everyone has the love language of physical touch or necessarily desires to be touched by another person, but being physically present for another, to be just silent and listen, is a way of communicating God's love and touching another person. The members of the body of Christ need to be physically present in order to assemble as the church and for the church to be seen in the world. You know, without your presence, there is a piece of the body missing. Be present in church, not only for your sake, but for the sake of other believers. Acts of service. Well, Jesus is the greatest example of an act of service. Matthew 20:28 says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In service, Jesus acted out of love and not obligation. May that be the same for us. Bearing another's burden, helping relieve someone of a weight or shoulder a responsibility for them, these are all acts of service. Paul says love bears all things, and serving one another, we are serving God. Words of affirmation. Paul says that love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It rejoices with the truth. This relates directly, I think, to the love language of words of affirmation. The Bible is God's language of love in Jesus Christ written, which affirms his saving love for us and his righteous character. In our worship, we praise God and affirm the things we believe. Through words of affirmation, we build up our own faith and edify the faith of others. Words of affirmation are words that support and encourage others. Words can help to heal. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." Likewise, you know, unwise words can wound, and unwise words can cause trouble. So let us all keep a guard on our tongue and watch over our use of words. And may I say, especially ones we post in electronic form and which are widely read. The world is watching and listening to us. We live in a glass house. which is as the church was designed to be. What does the world see and hear inside? Well, there simply must be a qualitative difference between the love within the body of Christ for one another and for God and for the pagan world outside it. As Christians, how our time is spent, the words we speak, the services we perform for others, our touch and presence in the world, all speak a language. A language which communicates. Let love be the motivation behind all we do and say. I think this is the core of Paul's message. Out of the perfection of his love, God gives his love. God is the ultimate gift giver because he gives himself. Paul says, all other things may pass away, but it is God's love which endures forever. And may God's love allow his church to shine brightly and reflect his glory. Amen.